It's very important that you and I remember His faithfulness.
Amen.
When we start to forget the Lord, we start to forget His faithfulness, then we start getting into the complaining mode usually. Then we start to grumble. We start to complain. We start to look at our problems. We start to look at our situation and allow that thing to grow and magnify itself. How many have figured that out, that when you start dwelling on, maybe it's a lack of finances, maybe it's a problem that you've been trying to get, you know, to overcome in your own life, when you maybe it's a relationship problem that you're dealing with right now, but the more that you dwell on those things, the greater they become in your eyes. The devil likes to magnify that which is broken, that which is out of the way, that which is a lie, that which is due to the fall. We're not to look and dwell on that which is broken, that which is due to the fall, but we're to dwell on Him who is the complete one, the whole one. Holiness, amen, is really to be integrated. Everything that God thinks, everything that God says, everything that God does, all agrees. It lines up. Absolute no imperfection in God. He's completely holy. There's no hypocrisy in God. When you and I are not agreeing in ourselves as far as what I'm saying and what I'm actually living or doing or thinking doesn't line up, that's called hypocrisy. It's unholiness is what it is. But when our hearts are in tune with Him who is whole, who is holy, when they're integrated into Him who is in complete integration, amen, there's no fault in God, then He is our holiness. He's the one that makes us whole. So our lives are to be shut up with Him. We're to be to abide in His presence. We're to abide in His holiness. Holiness is Christ in me. Amen? It's not living a perfect life, because apart from Him, there's no such thing. But when I hide myself, when I draw into Him, and I abide in His glory, in His holiness, I'm holy. When Jesus said, "Be holy, for I am holy," He's saying, you must be one with Me. You must abide in Me. We abide in His holiness. We have faith in God. I trust in Him that He is my righteousness, that He is my holiness, that He is my redemption. I don't trust in my own ability to be holy. As you abide in Him, holiness is automatic. Your mind, your thoughts, your words, your actions align when you're aligned with Him. How many have found that to be true? When you're prayed up, when you're in the Spirit, when you're in the glory, it's like you're not dealing with the nasty thoughts. You're not dealing with unbelief and doubt and fear. You're in this place of harmony. You're in this place of holiness, you see. And so Christ in you is your hope of glory. He is your holiness. He has become for us holiness. The Lord is our righteousness. So we want to remember that it is the Lord who has provided for us holiness. In other words, He's given us access to Him who is holy. Right? He's given us access to Him who is holy. So in Him we're holy. And when we realize that my holiness is not in me, but it's in Christ, then I'm not a holier than thou. Then I'm not comparing myself to others, because I realize that in myself, like Paul said, there's no good thing. Apart from Christ, I have nothing. Whatever I have apart from Christ is fading away, passing away, it's going to be burned up. But that which is in Him, that which is done out of an abiding union with Him, out of a cooperation and communion with Him in the Spirit, will have everlasting, hallelujah, rewards. That's why Jesus said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. As we abide in Him, we're abiding in His holiness. When we're abiding in His holiness, then our thoughts, our words, and our actions are going to integrate and align up, and they're going to say, now that's a real Christian. It's not because he's just such a good person, he's a good Christian. It's not because he's acting like a Christian. That's hypocrisy. See, acting like a Christian is hypocrisy. Because hypocrisy means stage player, stage actor. So when we're acting like a Christian, we're actually not being a Christian. What we need to do is be who God says we are already. Yes. By abiding in him. Is this making sense?
Yes.
It's in Christ. My holiness, my redemption, my hope. It's all in him. And when I walk in him, I walk in peace. When I disconnect and the enemy gets me distracted and I begin to get focused externally on everything that's around me and broken and at fault, then I start to detach. Something begins to detach within me. I begin to pull away in the sense. That's what they call falling away. It's really falling away from an abiding union with Christ. And so I was listening to something, Rabbi Schneider from the Jewish Jesus. I don't know if you've ever heard him. I tuned in for a few minutes last night, and he was talking about technology. He was talking about, you know, cell phones and smartphones and you know, Skype and all the stuff we have today. And he was talking about how he went and got one of these devices, you know. And I do have a cell phone, by the way, but he was beginning to notice that thing began to little by little consume so much of his time. And it actually began to hurt his walk, his relationship. It began to affect it. It started to become an idol. And folks, I think you can agree with me, especially among the young people today, that is a huge idol. We've had young people in this church that could not sit through a service without being on that stupid thing. I'm not talking about watching the Bible on it. That's okay. But I'm talking about they've got to be communicating or texting or whatever they're doing. There's such a distraction. And the enemy has got so many gadgets and so many things out there, folks. Technology can be a good thing. I'm not saying it's all evil. I'm just saying that he's using that as a means of pulling us away from what we're supposed to be focusing on. And that is Christ and his purposes on the earth. You know, there are some who talk about surrender to God. I want to talk about this a little bit today, as if there's no responsibility on our part. Just surrendering. Some people have like this fatalistic view of life. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, as if everything is totally up to God and not up to us. If that's the case, God might as well kill you and take you home because you have no use now. How many know that God wanted you to be you in the earth? Amen? With all your uniqueness, you are a gift to this world. And so God created you the way he wanted you to be. So rejoice in who you are in the Lord and how he's made you to be. Be happy for who you are. Because if you try to be somebody else or somebody you're not, somebody's going to miss you. And you are necessary in this world. People are in a hurry to get out of here. And God's saying, no, I want you here because I've got a reason for you to be here. Because you are to represent me in my multifaceted ways. And the ways that God, aren't you glad that his garden is not just one type of flower? Amen? He's got a beautiful bouquet of flowers. But this fatalistic view, as if everything is completely up to God, and what it does is it's like we passively sit around and hope God will do something. And some people have been waiting for years for God to do something. Now, I will agree with you that there are times when there's nothing you and I can do. Would you agree? That's different. There are times when we do need to wait on God for the answer because there is nothing we can do. But often God gives us an instruction. You know, we want to see the kingdom expanded, right?
Yes.
I mean, a couple of you do. All right. We want to see God's kingdom expand, right? We want to see souls saved, right? We want to see people made into disciples, followers of Jesus. Would you agree? How many are obeying the instruction of the Lord? Hello? To make sure that that is happening. How many are inviting people to church? Okay, good. You understand that there's a time to pray and there's a time to act. We pray, yes, first. But often in the prayer, what we're doing is we're seeking the heart of God to get an instruction from Him, to hear His voice. In the early church, everything they did was led by the Spirit. They would pray, they would fast, they would seek the Lord, the Holy Spirit would speak, and then they knew what they needed to do. And it's the same way for us as individuals. We need to hear from God. So often He's going to give you just an instruction, and He's going to tell you to do this. Because we're often saying, God, I want you to do this. And He says, well, I asked you to do that. Now, if you do that, I might let you do that. If you delight yourself in me and you put me first, I'll give you the desires of your heart. But first, get things in priority here. The problem is we don't do that. We put our desires ahead of everything else. And if there's any time left over, we give that to God. We punch the clock on Sunday morning and do our duty and certainly nobody here has ever done that, so okay. I've done that before, I think, I'm sure. But we do it because it's the right thing to do. We come together because it's the right thing to do. Would you agree? It's the right thing to do. I said that Friday night again. I said, now, aren't you glad afterwards that you didn't listen to that other voice that told you don't come tonight? Folks, if you weren't able to make the revival, there's no guilt trip here, okay, please. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. My heart goes out because I'm like, I want you to receive what God is dishing out. And I tell you what, it was, had a cherry on top even, you know, it was good. We had a banquet. Hallelujah. David was known as a man after God's own heart. And I want to look at this Psalms 103 this morning. If you turn in your Bibles to Psalms 103. He was a man that sought God. That's what really a man after his heart. He was one that sought the Lord. You know, you have those who will just wait around and hope God will show up. And then you have those who pursue God. Those who seek Him. David was known as a man who sought the Lord. Not a perfect man, but a man who sought the Lord. And because of that, God was pleased with him. As a result of him seeking God, God richly rewarded David. He was extremely blessed. He was extremely gifted. David created all types of musical instruments. You read the Psalms, it's full of all the songs and all the revelation that God gave David, because he was a man that sought the heart of God. Folks, how many know that wholeness, holiness is the result of you and I, amen, abiding in him? If your life is not in alignment, if things are not working out within yourself, you need to integrate to him, into him who's holy. You got to get close to God. Draw near to God, and I'll draw near to you. And so in verse 1, he says, listen to this. He gives a command to his soul. How many know that your soul is not to command you? Your body is not to dictate to you what to do. There are many people that are in trouble because they just listen to their body. Come on. It felt good at the time. You are to take control of yourself. One of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 is what? Self-control. So David would not allow that part of him, that soulish part of him, to rule him. Instead, he gave a command here in this verse, first verse. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. You've ever had a conversation with yourself? Human beings are capable of doing that, aren't we? That's why the mental hospitals are full of us. I'm just kidding. I talk to myself all the time. I try not to do it in public, though, that's all. But we all talk to ourselves. And because why? Because we're made up that way. It's kind of a unique situation, isn't it? That we're able to actually converse within ourselves. Does anybody do that? He's kind of like, all right, Keith. Sometimes I'm hard on myself. I said, no, that was real stupid, Keith. You know, why did you do that? You know. Instead, I need us to be kind of being a little better, you know, a little easier on myself sometimes. But he would not allow his fleshly desires, his soulish part, to rule him. And of course, we all know what happened when he did, right? When he was looking at Bathsheba, he was letting his eyes wander into the wrong place, and he began to think on something he shouldn't have, and got him into a lot of trouble. But we're not going to talk about that today. We're just going to talk about this thing called the soul, and how you and I are to command or make our soul realm, our soulish person, obey the Spirit. If you are in Christ, David was a man of the anointing. David had the Spirit. There were only prophets, priests, and kings primarily in the Old Covenant. Amen? That God had anointed. And today, God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. But if we have the Spirit, then the soulish realm of you, that's the mind, the intellect, the reason, needs to come under submission to the Holy Spirit, who is integrated in our spirit. And when the mind comes into integration with the Holy Spirit, integrated with our spirit, then the body will follow suit. And we will obey the Lord even in our flesh. And so David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then he goes on to say, "And forget not all his benefits." But he says, "Bless the Lord," verse 1, "O my soul, and all that is within me." And all that is within me. What is he saying? Everything in me is going to bless him. That word "bless" really means to praise him. And we're to praise him with all of our hearts. Do we do that? We're to love God, are we not? With all of our hearts? Are we not to be sold out for God? All that is within me. All I am for God, all I have for God. He said, "Bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." All we have, folks, is from him. Our life, our breath, our substance, amen, it all came from God. So we are to bless him and not forget that our source is from him. Not from man, not from our employer, not from the bank, but our source is Jesus Christ. All we have. That word, forget not all his benefits. That word benefits means his good treatment towards us. Good treatment. God treats us very well. It's when we forget that he has treated us very well that we start to shift into the wrong place. And we begin to externally examine everything. And we start to turn away from the Lord in our hearts, and then we begin to complain. Because when you start looking at your circumstances, how many know that there's a lot to complain about? Let's be real. Honestly, there is a lot that we can complain about. Our world is a mess. But we're not to allow our external world, amen, and the state of the world to control how it is in here. And as we abide in His holiness, when we're integrated into God, then things are going to come into alignment. Our perspective is going to be heaven's perspective, and we're going to look through eyes of potential and say, you know what? That car over there has got a lot of rust holes in it. However, comma, I see something beautiful coming out of that. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes, folks, Bondo's not the best way to fix a car, right? I mean, sometimes it's beyond Bondo, amen? How many know that you and I spiritually were beyond Bondo? Yeah. Patching is not going to fix us, amen? God says, we're going to take care of that. We're throwing the whole thing out. We're going to give you a brand new one. But it's often better just to replace the part that's broken, amen, than to try to patch it. But we're to bless the Lord and not forget what He's done for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. 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 For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How many know that praise flows from a heart of gratitude? What David was doing here in this psalm was he was encouraging himself in the Lord. Too often, we're depending on somebody else to encourage us. Come on. We're depending on the man of God, you know, the woman of God to encourage us. It's no. You encourage yourself in the Lord. They have to get encouraged too, you know. And how are they going to do that? They're going to get encouraged sometimes through brothers and sisters, but ultimately through that brother and sister comes the encouragement from the Lord. So it all comes from the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
Our right perspective, our right view, our right way of seeing things comes from the heart and mind of Father, not from our circumstances. Sometimes it's, if everything is going our way, everything is right in my life now, I can be happy. You know, in the world, you know, you go to some restaurants and on a rainy day, they're just nasty, you know. You come in that same restaurant on a sunny day and they're just happy as peach, you know. Simply because their happiness is dependent on external circumstances. Unfortunately, too often in our own lives, we're allowing the same thing to happen because what's happened is we've already taken our eyes off Christ and we're starting to look externally, hello, for a solution to our lack of peace, our lack of contentment, lack of faith. And we can't, folks, God is trying to point us to Him. It's always pointing to Him. My job is to point you to Him, amen? I don't want to be your Jesus. I know some people like that. They want to be Jesus in the sense that they want people to look at them as though they're some kind of God. And the arrogance sometimes that's in the ministry, it's a reality that the enemy will, if possible, he will puff us up and he will make it all about us rather than Jesus. Folks, we want to point people to Him. Amen? We're a vessel, and they should see Jesus in us. But what we can tell them is, listen, what you're seeing, what you're experiencing, and the power that may flow from your life to them. Say, it's not me, it's Jesus. Seek Him. Draw near to Him. Hallelujah. Because the soulish realm of you wants to have the accolades of men. There's a part in us that says, I want to be just like God. It's called your sin nature, your fallen nature. Come on. Has anybody ever struggled with that before? A couple hands there. Okay, the rest of you, we're praying for you. There's something in us that's that other part. Isn't it true? That wants to be God. Isn't that what Satan used in the very beginning? You shall be as God. That's what he enticed man with. So we've got to be careful that we are integrated in him and that we're, amen, making God our number one and our source. And then when people experience Christ through our lives, and they will as we walk in him, as we abide in him, then we can say, listen, what I have, you can have too. Just give your life to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Israel was not to forget that the Lord had saved them out of Egypt. That's why God instituted Passover. That's why we even celebrate today the Lord's Supper, folks. This is about Passover. This is about our redemption. Amen? That we have been purchased by the blood of Christ. That we have been delivered out of darkness. Hallelujah. Out of bondage of sin. We've been taken out of Egypt. Out of the old life. We've been brought into the kingdom of the dear Son of God. Amen. We are now children of the Most High God, joint heirs with Jesus. We have been raised up together with Christ and seated in the heavenly places. My identity is not in who I was. It's in who I am now. I'm a new creation and old things have passed away. All things have become new. And so we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. But it's the earthen vessel that needs to be kept in perspective. And so when David would find himself discouraged, he would begin to command himself not to dwell on that, but instead bless the Lord and remember His faithfulness. They were to remember God's deliverance so that once they got into the situation where they were being tested, they can go back and remember, oh yeah, remember what God did to the Egyptians. Remember how He delivered us out. Remember the miracles of God in your life. Remember the visitations, the special times when God just shows up in a special way. When you're going through it, remind yourself about that. Write it down on the calendar. Put it on the calendar of your heart and remember. Otherwise, you might forget. And that's why Moses says, when you've eaten and drunken and had your fill, he says, then you rise up and praise the Lord, amen, lest you forget. When you build lands and houses and you enter into the land of promise, he said, don't forget what the Lord has done for you. And sure enough, what did they do? They began to forget. It's not always because of adverse situations that we forget and we begin to dwell on just the bad things. It's also the good things, folks. Sometimes even more so the good things that can choke us. And we begin to forget God. But once you start to forget God, now you're setting yourselves up for the enemy to come in and mess you up. That's what he wants. He says, look over here. Over here. Hey, get your eyes off Jesus. Get your eyes on me, he says. I'll give you everything you want. We need to be careful not to forget the cross. That's why we're not taking this cross down. I don't care what other churches may be doing. We're not taking this cross down. Amen. That's where it began. That's where life begins. It was the sacrifice of our Lord that we should never forget, who had brought us in to the light, who has restored us to fellowship with the Father, and has given us access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. God's grace is available to us freely because of the price that Jesus paid. Don't ever forget that it was the highest price that was paid for my soul and your soul. So as we remember the Lord in communion, hallelujah, we remember His sacrifice. But we also rejoice in the fact that even as Jesus had ascended and he returned to the Father's house, He's going to return again, amen, to come and get us. He's gone to prepare a place for us. David saw himself in five places. I want you to, if you can, write these down. Number one, David saw himself, first of all, as a criminal that had been acquitted. Verse 3, first part of that verse, he says, who forgives all your iniquities. Iniquities means simply faults or your sins, missing the mark. He forgives all your iniquities. You know, David understood even that he could not be forgiven apart from the mercy of God. He had to realize in himself that his goodness was not enough. He had to realize within himself that his righteousness had to come from God. His validation had to come from God. Amen? The forgiveness of sins had to come from God. It was not something he could do himself. He could not outwork, amen, his iniquity. He could not outperform that which he had already done in rebellion to God. The problem is many people are trying just to please God by working harder, by trying harder, by striving harder, and they forget that it's impossible, amen, except by the blood of Jesus to be forgiven. We serve God because we love God, and we do it out of a heart of gratitude because He has redeemed us. not as a means of being made right with God. David saw himself as a patient in the hospital that had been cured, who heals all your diseases. Who was he? He was healed from the leprosy of sin, one who was cleansed and renewed. He was healed from spiritual blindness caused by sin. How many know this? God that gives you spiritual sight. You cannot see, you cannot perceive, you cannot understand except by the Holy Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of truth. You want to know truth? You need to know the truth. The person of the truth. His name is Jesus, amen? Who has given us His Holy Spirit to take those things that He had taught us, amen, and also show us things to come. Healed from the crippling effects of sin. How many know that sin cripples, it maims people so that we cannot any longer walk upright? You get the image of someone that's just been beaten down and crippled up because of just the consequences of actions and things that we have done, maybe willingly and sometimes even unwillingly, folks. Sometimes people are subjected to things that their parents did that cause them to suffer, that bring brokenness in their lives. Many children are born into a situation where they are almost born with a stronghold in their life simply because of what their parents had done. Some children are born as drug addicts because of what the parents had done. Some children are abused when they're children. It wasn't a voluntary thing. It was an involuntary thing. But it's still, the effects of sin have a damaging effect on a child. And the only hope is through Jesus Christ, the redemption in His blood, the healing power of God, amen, that can come in and can restore a person. You may never forget that, but God can heal you and God can turn around that which was evil and turn it into something good. He will give you beauty for ashes. Yes. To walk uprightly again. David saw himself as a slave in the market who had been redeemed. He had no hope except to live his existence as a slave. He, verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction. He redeems you. How many know that you and I in Christ have been purchased? We've been bought by the blood of Jesus. What are we free to do? We're not free to sin anymore. We're free to walk with God. We're free to serve God. Amen? We're free to enjoy the fellowship of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. That's freedom. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "I, knowing that you were not redeemed or bought with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." David saw himself as a servant, crowned as a king unto God. How many know that you and I in Christ are kings? Amen? Amen. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That word crowns, I looked it up, it means to encircle or protect. You get, you know, we think something about that maybe a crown, but it really means to encircle. He crowns your life. In other words, He shuts you in with Him. He protects you. And He blesses you with loving kindness. That means beauty and favor. So He sees Himself as one who, you know, is now a servant crowned as a king unto God. You know, Jesus even spoke to His disciples and He says, you know, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends." Why? Because they obeyed the Lord. When you obey God, when you walk with God, you develop a friendship with God. There's joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In verse 4b, in the Amplified, it says this, "Who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." In other words, we receive the privilege as sons. We receive the privilege of sonship in the Lord. We're a child of God now. That means that it doesn't matter what you used to be in Christ, you are actually now a royal priesthood. You are actually royalty. You are precious in the eyes of the Lord. You've got to believe, folks, we've got to believe what God says about us. not what your own mind tells you. Your reason says that I don't see myself. Well, you got to renew your reason. You're going to cause that part of you to come under submission to this word right here and what God says about you. Come on. Because if you live by just the understanding, be not wise in your own understanding. But if you live just by your reason and your understanding, you're going to live a condemned, defeated life. But if your understanding comes under the authority of the Word of God and the promises of God, you appropriate and you say, God said it, I'm receiving it, I'm believing it, I'm decreeing it, I'm declaring it, because God said it, and you can say what God says about you. And when you say what God says about you, it actually calls in the reality of it. Because power of life and death is in the tongue. Instead of grumbling and complaining, we should be blessing the Lord. Amen? Instead of cursing, we bless. Your words are powerful, folks. What we speak over our children is powerful. You bless them. Your words are powerful. God will honor the word that is spoken in alignment and integration with what He's saying. When we abide in Him, we hear His voice. And we begin to speak what He's speaking. Revelation 1:6 says, He has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then fifthly, David also sees himself as an invited guest at God's banquet, who has had plenty to eat. Now, I love this one. You know that. But we like to banquet, don't we? We like to dine at His table. How many know that God wants you to enjoy His presence? How many know that God wants you to enjoy fellowship with Him? God invites you into fellowship. God says, here, I've got a banquet for you. Why are you eating a crust of bread and water over there when you can dine with me? As a matter of fact, not only do we get to dine with Him, but our enemies can only look. Because it says, He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In other words, your enemy cannot stop you from receiving what you need from God. The only way that He can do that is to convince you in your mind, because your mind is not submitted to what God says, to believe a lie that God doesn't like you, that God's not wanting to listen to you, that God doesn't want to hear you, that God doesn't hear your prayers. If you approach God with a mentality that it's probably not going to do any good, but I'll go ahead and give it a shot. Forget it. If you get your eyes off you, get your eyes on Jesus, get your eyes on the fact that Jesus has redeemed you with His blood, He has brought you into fellowship, He has covered you with His blood, and therefore I can come confidently to the throne of grace and know that when I ask my Father something, it's not going to pass Him by. Jesus said, when you pray, believe in your heart that you receive it, and you shall have it. This is the attitude that we have to have. It doesn't matter what life has dealt you, because often we try to bring that into our spirituality, you know? Well, I've just been a loser all my life. Nothing ever goes right in my life. It's just, well, here we go again. And you know, and we can get in that funk sometimes, right? But that's the old life. That's not the new you. The new you says, hallelujah, I've got access to my Father's throne. I'm with Jesus in heavenly places. All I got to do is cry out, Father, Abba Father, Father in heaven. Hallelujah. You don't have to run over here to a special meeting or run over there. I like going to meetings. Nothing wrong with that. But how many know that the kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of God is in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And in your heart, you commune with the Lord. And when you pray from your heart. When you speak, when you preach from your heart. And it's out of the heart will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Because there's a fountain of life within you in Christ. You don't have to ascend into heaven. Why? You don't have to descend into the deep. Why? What does the Bible say? The word is nigh you, even in your mouth. The word of faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what God says. That's what I'm believing. I don't care how I feel. The feelings are going to follow faith. I'm not going to follow my feelings because my feelings deceive me. The devil works in your soulish realm. He works in the feeling part. Now, good feelings follow faith. Come on, we have happy times in the Lord, amen? Amen. Pleasures of God. But you never allow the way that you're feeling to dictate how you're going to walk. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Start to remember. Start to remind yourself. Oh yeah, that's right. It's amazing. How many have discovered this? That there'll be times in your life you start to reflect on just things that God did.
Oh yeah.
And all of a sudden, you'll find yourself encouraged in the very same reality.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden, it's like as fresh as it was that day. Yeah. See, that's what Passover was about. They were to remember the deliverance of the Lord. It was to keep them in perspective so that when they were going to be confronted with difficulties and pressures and stresses and temptation, that they could rely and remember what the Lord has done so that they can encourage themselves in today. Hallelujah. The Word of God is alive and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is a living Word. It is a fresh Word. It is a right now Word. What God said yesterday is just as relevant today. It's fresh right now. Amen? Remember what the Lord has done for you. Don't forget. So David, he would praise the Lord. God promises to fill and satisfy those who hunger and thirst for Him. And sometimes we see ourselves as a cast sheep. That means, you know, we get into a funk once in a while. Does anybody beside myself ever get there? Okay, I know some of you are too spiritual for that, but I'm trying to get there anyways, where that doesn't happen. You just don't stay there, right? We have moments of that. We don't have seasons of that even. We just have moments. When you recognize what's going on, this is when you need to take action and say, no, I don't have to accept this. Do you know that you have the power to do that?
Yes.
Do you know you have the power to determine your attitude?
Yes.
Yes, you do. Your attitude is not to control you. You are to control your attitude.
Right, right.
Your body is not to control you. You are to control your body. Okay. Psalms 42 and verse 5, David said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me?" You know, that word cast means when a sheep would fall over, he'd fall on his back and his legs would be up in the air. It was called cast. And if the sheep laid there long enough, he would die. So the shepherd would go and he would pick the sheep up and put them back on his feet. And so David's saying, I feel like this sheep that's just been cast down, you know, and I don't know what to do. The one thing is for sure is that when you're cast down, you're looking up, right? So it's a good time to call upon the name of the Lord. So David would call upon the name of the Lord. And then he says, "Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." What did David say? I'm going to praise Him. That's what I'm going to do. He didn't go out and gamble. He didn't go out and drink and drug and he didn't run to the psychiatrist. He didn't call the psychic hotline for help. I mean, you know, those things weren't even there then. Amen? The drugs were in the drinking, but they didn't have psychiatrists. That was Freud. He brought that thing in. What did he do? He called upon the name of the Lord. He cried out to the living God for help. And God came to his rescue. So you and I, folks, we cannot allow our lower nature to tell us what to do. You can come to church and you can completely allow your lower nature to tell you what to do. You can come in here and just be, you know, in a funk and say, I'm just deciding I'm going to be in this funk because I'm going to listen to what my lower nature tells me to do. My lower nature tells me that I'm depressed and I'm bummed out and I'm having a bad day. But God says, no, you don't have to be there. Call upon me and I'll pick you up and put you back on your feet again. But you've got to call on the name of the Lord. We talked about that. Amen. Sometimes you need to shout to the Lord. Shout, hallelujah, and shatter that thing off of you. The devil hates it when God's people shout the name of Jesus. Jesus!
Jesus!
Like that. All right. Hallelujah, Lord. Let me read it to you from this, and we're going to be done. Bless affectionately. Hey, don't be upset, okay? I mean, if people criticize you because you are passionate, because you affectionately praise the Lord, hallelujah, come on, they're missing it, all right? Don't follow the pattern of the crowd that says, man, a bunch of Jesus freaks. Come on, Christians are criticizing Christians because of their love for God. Gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deepest within me. Bless His holy name. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all His benefits, who forgives every one of all your iniquities, who heals each one of all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and corruption, who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth, your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation with good, so that your youth, renewed, is like the eagles, strong, overcoming, soaring. Hallelujah.